Okay, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Welcome to Harvest Worship Center. We're at a study in the Word on Sunday morning. Our title of our series is An In-Depth Study on Love. This is part number 6. And today's title is Love, the Top Priority in Life. Now, last week we discussed being rooted deep in love and how important it is. Today, we're going to talk about love being the top priority in life. And we're going to start our message today in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 37. And before we get started, we want to pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today that you've given us on this awesome day. The door of your throne is always open. You said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Today, Father, where we and whether we're not, we have difficulties and problems in life. You, the doors of your throne are open. We come, Father, and sit as your children at your feet to learn of you today, Lord. We ask you to teach us. Bring forth revelation knowledge in our lives. Cause us to know your heart, Lord. And in the process, know our own heart. We thank you for this study and for all those that have joined us today and those that will join us in the future by video or by audio from our Facebook, from our church webpage. We thank you so much for it, Father, and we give you praise for the change in our lives. But we will never be the same. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 37. Give you a little bit of a background here without reading the whole chapter. The Pharisees are trying to trick Jesus so that they could have something against him, something that they could persecute him or actually kill him if possible. And they brought a coin to him at the beginning of this chapter, and they said, is it right to give pay taxes or not? And then he gave him a coin and give Jesus a coin. And he asked him whose image is on there. And they said Caesar's image. And he said, render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Well, they didn't change their, they didn't really have any defense on that. But they still wanted to try to capture him in his words. So one of the number come up, either a Pharisee or a teacher, came up to him and ask him a question about what the greatest commandment is. They were wanting him to say something opposite of what the law said. So that's why they asked this question. So starting in verse 37, Jesus answered this Pharisee or scribe, and he replied to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great, most important principle and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you do yourself. These two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. So we see here Jesus stated exactly what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when God himself was laying out the law. Talking to Moses. He said, this is the greatest commandment. And then he makes this last statement. He says, on these two commandments sum up, and upon them depend all the law and the prophets. So he could take everything the prophets said, every commandment that they gave. You could take every commandment that is listed on those stones and tablets, and everything that God commanded man to do, and sum it up in love. Love is the top priority where God is concerned. And if it's God's top priority, what should it be for us? As he is, so are we in this world. We're born of love, we're born for love, we're born to love. We are love creatures. So not only is it a commandment, but it's who we really are. And if we are not loving, as I've said before, we are abnormal. We're not normal if we're not walking in love. It is the top priority in your life above anything. Even above eating and sleeping. It is the top priority in life. And so many of us don't treat it that way. We just treat it as a choice we have as we go through life. And if we hit an obstacle and we think about it, we'll try to do the loving thing. Mm-hmm. What we call the loving thing. And it's probably not the loving thing anyways, but we think it is. Mm-hmm. Born again or not, we just kind of flow. And like that old pinball game that I like to use as an illustration, we just pull the handle of life, or life pulls our handle either way. And that ball goes up there and then it hits all those bumpers and that ball bounced around back and forth. Just let life kick us around. And we'll just answer them as they come. And in a pinball game, that's the good thing. That's what you want. But in life, you don't want that. You want to pull that handle and let that ball go up there and just go all the way straight to the bottom without hitting anything. Mm-hmm. Just kind of flow through life with no obstacles. And that's kind of what we would like to have happen. But that's not normally what happens. But we treat life that way. We treat life, we'll just take it as it comes. Mm-hmm. And then when the problems happen and issues of life happen, we wonder, where did that come from? What do I do now? You should have been loving all along, and chances are you would have missed that. The Holy Spirit would have moved you around it or prepared you before you got there. Even if you didn't concentrate on it, and even if you're not really walking in love the way you should, if you're His child, He's trying to get you around that and move you away from that. But if we're not walking in love, we can't hear Him. Mm-hmm. We're so carnally minded that we can't hear spiritually because we're not spiritually minded. Mm-hmm. We don't think about it. Well, God's Word teaches us that we're supposed to be loving all the time because just as God is love, we are. Mm-hmm. So it should be something that we just are. Mm-hmm. It should be our common response to things. But because it's not the top priority in our life, we don't live that way. Mm-hmm. We let the world choose how we respond and the problems and issues that come our way. Mm-hmm. We allow the enemy to set up traps for us, mm-hmm. which if we had been walking in love, that trap would not have worked. Mm-hmm. Or it would have been reduced in size and time, mm-hmm. and effectiveness. But we don't do that. So that's why this is the top and the chief commandment. There's also another reason here. Because without us walking in love, God's idea of love, without us doing that, we close up the channel of God's blessing and His ability to work in our life. We close that. It's like squeezing a hose and eventually shutting it off. Or plugging the flow up in a pipe to where something plugs it up and the water just does not come out the way it should. It gets clogged up with lime or whatever. The provision from our Father to us is plugged up. It's reduced in power. Last week we talked about being deeply rooted in love, and we talked about the four different kinds of ground. In the Mark, I believe Mark 4 talks about the sower sows the word. And there's four different soils, four different environments there. But there's only one seed, and it's the same. And how that if it's properly planted and we care for it properly in good soil to the degree that we take care of that seed, that is the degree that we have a yield. It's the same way with our love walk. Now, we may be good at walking in love in this area. It may be just habitual. Whenever that happens, we just walk in love. But over here, we let the world push our triggers. Mm-hmm. We're not walking in love there. Mm-hmm. Well, that reduces our yield.
Right.
It reduces the power flow in and through our lives. Mm-hmm. It reduces our ability to hear God. Yeah. And to make proper decisions and to recognize the things that are in our life. It reduces our anointing. And our understanding, because we're not walking in love. And we may be It may be something that we have had all of our life because of our upbringing and our family, and we just believe that that's the proper way to respond to things. You get mad when they get mad, and you get glad when they get glad. It's just the way you live your life. Everything around you determines your response. But that's not how we live. That's not who we are. We let the Bible, the Word of God, determine our response.
Amen.
You've heard me say it numerous times, but I don't know if people understand what I'm saying. We have to filter our life and the issues of life through love. We filter it. I don't like grounds in my coffee. I don't like that. So they put a filter in there to keep the grounds from going through. But occasionally, they'll still get in there. Either the filter will fall over or tip or whatever reason. They'll get down in the cup. And when I get down to the bottom of the cup, there's some grounds. I don't like that. Fortunately, they sink for the most part. But we're supposed to filter everything through the love walk. Filter everything through faith. Filter everything through the Word. No matter what it is. Whether it's the checkout counter when we go through, the little old lady in front of us, the guy that sped around and cut us off and then slowed down. Whatever it is, we filter our response to those things through love. No matter how important that is, no matter how big of a matter it is, we still filter it through the love walk. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We don't, though. We let the circumstance determine our response. Well, let's take a look at Deuteronomy 6. This is where Jesus got this particular, he's referring to this scripture, and he's actually referring to the commandment that God laid out himself. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll start in, let's start in verse 1. I'll just read it quickly. Now, verse 1 of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Now, this is the instruction, the laws, and the precepts which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. Moses is talking to Israel and relaying what God had told him to tell them, that you might do them in the land to which you go to possess it, that you may reverently fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son. So this is not just the people in front of him. If it's going to go to the son's sons, the son's sons are probably not here yet. So somebody's going to have to teach this, okay? To your sons' sons, and keep all the statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. So this commandment he's about to give the Israel is going to prolong their days. So when we walk in love, what it's saying to us today, if we walk in love, we actually prolong our days.
Amen.
We prolong our days, and we live a life that's worth living. Okay, then verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel. So open up your ears. Listen to this. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be watchful to do them. So this is something that we got to watch over. This is something that we have to pay attention to and be very careful with. And be watchful to do them, that it may be well with you, and that you may increase exceedingly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. So if you don't do this, you will not prosper. See, there's always a law of double reference. And that law of double reference says, if you say this, there's no need to say that, because it's understood that the opposite of it will work if you don't do this. There's a lot of that throughout Scripture. There's no reason for God to say, don't do that. Do this instead. Or he'll say, do this. He doesn't have to say, do that. Because it follows, if this is what I'm going to be blessed by, if this is going to bless me, if this is going to protect me and cover me, and God is able to work in my life this way, then it automatically says, if I don't, he can't. So that's what he's saying here. So that, hear, O Israel, verse 3 again. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be watchful to do them, that it may be well with you and that you may increase exceedingly. That sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean just financially. Right. That's increase in every area of life or prosper. As the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in the land flowing with milk, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, the only Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with your entire being and with all your might. That sounds to me like it's pretty important. All means a part of it. I'm going to protect this little area over here for myself. No, all. Everything that you are, God is first. Love is first. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your mind and heart and with your entire being and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you this day shall be first in your own minds and hearts. Then. Now then means when you do that, right? Then you shall whet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate and teach and impress them diligently upon the minds and hearts of your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your head, and they shall be as frontlets, forehead bands between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. In other words, this is the top priority in your life. Whatever you do, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed and over again, this is a priority in your life. There is nothing more important than this. And if you make it the most important, it is amazing how the other things that you have had as important in your life mm-hmm. will just kind of drop into proper place. Mm-hmm. And you'll be better at doing those things than you were before. We try to focus so much on our job and our family and on entertainment and all these things, education. We focus on that. And we put God wherever we can fit him. Not realizing we're doing those things in our own strength.
Yeah.
And our strength is limited. Our knowledge is limited. Our failure ratio is way high. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have God in his proper place. We don't have him in his proper place. Do you realize, and this dawned on me early as a father. We have six, actually seven children. This dawned on me early in our life. And most people didn't understand it, understand why I did certain things. But I found out early that you cannot put your family first if you do not put God first.
Amen.
It's not possible. Your family is not first with you if you put God second or third or 50th. Mm-hmm. But if you put him first, mm-hmm. then his covering and anointing is over all your children.
Amen.
And over all of your life. Mm-hmm. He's leading them when you're not there.
Right.
He's teaching them even what you don't teach them. He's bringing them into a place of rest and prosperity and health and healing mm-hmm. that right. you cannot do. You can't do it. Mm-hmm. I found that out early. Mm-hmm. That the only way to be a good father is to put God first.
Amen.
Now I can tell you this, not all your children will understand that. Ask me how I know. You have to put God first. Even if you're not married, I know, Gene, you're not. But if you put God first, I can tell you the relationships around you will prosper because of what you're doing with your life.
Amen.
And then when that happens, you've already got your family covered.
Yep.
And even if you out there listening to this, even if you're getting ready to be married, or you say, well, I'm too young for that, mm-hmm. you can cover your future spouse. Right now, God's already got you two together. Even though you're not married, even though you're too young maybe, or maybe too old now. Mm-hmm. But whatever the case may be, when you put God first, everything in your life is covered. No matter what it is, He covers you. It really is the top priority in your life. It's the top priority in your business.
Amen.
Well, my business is failing. I ain't got time for any of that. You don't have time not to. The reason your business is failing, whether you know it or not, and you may be able to point to things while your business is failing, but whether you know it or not, the reason your business is failing is because God has not been first place.
Right. Amen.
He could have led you around all of that, but you didn't let Him. We must put God first. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added unto you." There is nothing more important or with a higher priority in your life than loving God and loving your neighbor. This is the chief commandment. And that's why God put it first. That's why He put it there, is because there is no other way. There is no other way. To the degree that you put God down on your list, that is the degree that He's able to move in your life. You are limiting the unlimited God, and you're the only one that can. But this is so important to us, and that's why before the cross, the only way those children could know God is if that parent taught them. And if the parent did not teach them, they could do the ceremonies and all of that, but not teach the why. Not teach the why. And then those children will just do a formula and not understand why. Mm-hmm. The parent has to teach why. Not just to do it, but why. Mm-hmm. What's the benefits of this? So it's vital that we, even today, now we have the Holy Spirit in us. And our children get born again. And when they get born again, the Holy Spirit comes into them. Yes, and the Holy Spirit's busy teaching them too. But we still have a responsibility to teach our children. Mm-hmm. They have to see us. Mm-hmm. They have to see us focusing our life on God. It's important. Even if they think they're being left out, or they're not important to us or whatever, or you go so God-minded that you're no earthly good, that's the opposite way. The only way you are good on the earth is to be godly minded.
Amen.
There is no other way. And don't you think Satan wants you to do that? He doesn't want you to be that way. He wants other people to think mm-hmm. that they're not important to you. They are important to me. That's why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm laying my life down. But I can't prove it to them. I shouldn't really even try. I just go on and love them.
Amen.
The love will be the proof. In John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Then in John 15:12, this is the Amplified Classic. "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." So now when you stick that "just" in there, what's that mean? Like, amen. I loved you. So you got to go back and see how God loved them. Mm-hmm. How did God love us? Mm-hmm. Well, this we know in John chapter 13 and John chapter 15, He's just a few hours from the cross. Matter of fact, there's other scriptures there that talk about the same thing in John 15 and John 14. He's getting ready to lay His life down for them. Mm-hmm. And He said, "Greater love has no man." Mm-hmm. "And you lay down your life for your friend. You are my friends." Mm-hmm. That's a covenant term. That's not just an acquaintance. So He's getting ready to lay His life down. What's that tell us about how we're to walk our life? Love has got to be the priority. We lay our life down in every single area of our life at our expense to love others. That's the commandment. Now, I would like to tell you, I'm 100%er on that. I'm not, and neither is anybody else. Mm-hmm. That's why I got to focus on my now moment. If I look at my life as the whole thing up to now, I'm a failure. And so is everybody else. But if I take my now moment, and I make it that my commandment in my now, and I do everything I can in my now to walk this out, then when I look back at my nows, the collection of my nows that will be my past, I'm going to say I've succeeded there to the best I could. But that's why. But if you concentrate on the whole, you'll say, I can't do that. Past, present, or future, I can't do that. But if you just focus on your now moment and you make a determination, love is my priority, it's top in my life. Then when the next moment comes up, you do the same thing. And you look at that now moment and you see these different things that's coming against your love, make a decision. I can be self-centered or I can love that person. And if you make it, that's what God was talking about in those commandments, Moses was talking about, putting it here in front of your head and your forehead. So it's constantly in front of you. It's right there all the time. And it's in your waking, it's in your going to bed, it's in your daytime, it's in your eating and your sleeping. Everything is filtered through it and is the priority in your life. Because, as we've already mentioned, and we'll mention these scriptures numerous times throughout this study, however long it is, but in 1 John 4:16-17, I'm not going to read it, just point it out. It says God is love, the being. Then it says, and I mentioned it earlier, as he is, so are we in this world. But in the beginning of verse 17 in 1 John 4:17, it says, in this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us. I'll read that again. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us.
Amen.
We can walk in perfect love with God, but only in our now. And when we fail, we repent and fix that now. We treat it as a sin and we repent of that, our lack of love in that moment. And we make it right with God. But we focus on that. So in this union and communion with him, our hearts as one, love is brought to completion. I cannot attain perfection or completion there without God. I cannot do it without the Word. And in order for it to be completely complete, he needs me. Because we are the object of that love.
Amen.
We are the focus of his love. We're the place where his love is aimed. And it always has been. Way back there. We were in his heart from the very beginning.
Amen.
And he's not done anything else. He's not doing anything else. Everything he does is focused at man. Focused right there. We're the object of that love. And because we're the object of that love, the focus, the beacon he's zeroing in on, then it only comes complete in God's own heart when we receive that and return it.
Amen.
Then it's brought to, that's what communion is, the joining of two. In this union and communion together, love is brought to completion.
Amen.
To perfection. That's so awesome. It's so awesome that God looks at Michael and he says, Michael, you're the object of my love. You make it personal, folks. Whatever your name is, make it personal. God loves me this much. He has zeroed in on Michael. He zeroed in on us. Man, that just sets your feet a dancing. It is God's deep desire that we know him in his fullness and that we are deeply rooted in love. We talked about that last week. When you love God and keep his commandments, you open the door for manifestations in every area of your life. The door opens for your love. And that allows the fullness of God to be poured out through those doors into you. That's so awesome. But it's dependent upon my choice. Whatever that situation is, there's always two sides.
Amen.
There's a love side and a carnal side. Spiritually minded side and a carnally minded side. A fleshly, worldly, self-centered side. There's a selfish side and a selfless side. Whatever you choose, that's what will function.
Yep.
Totally up to us. We are God's children, and we should see everything in our life through the eyes of love. Our eyes should be so focused on our Father, so focused on His heart, so focused on His Word, which is a love letter to us. So focused on that, that we see everything through those eyes. That means we're correcting ourselves. We're analyzing things in our life. We're seeing and judging things in our life through love.
Mm-hmm.
God sees us through the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
When we're born again. He's focused on that. He's zeroed in on our heart through that blood, and that's what He sees. He sees that we are born again. We're free. His grace has been applied. The Holy Spirit is there. He has the beacon for His own love and heart by placing His precious Spirit inside of our spirit. That communes our spirit and His spirit together. It communes God's heart and our heart together. There's a beacon there for Him to zero in on and connect to.
Mm-hmm.
When I, by my choices, choose to love,
mm-hmm.
that activates that beacon.
Mm-hmm.
And then He's able to, and it affects not just one certain thing that I'm aiming at. When that love starts flowing through those doors from His heart to mine, and I receive that love, it don't only affect the circumstance that I'm in, but it affects numerous other things I don't even know are connected.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. A lot of things that the enemy had planned for us never happened.
Mm, thank you, Lord.
They never happened. We just walk right through them. And they have no ability to get to us because, as 1 John 5:18 says, he that keeps himself, that wicked one, touches him not.
Amen.
And what does it say in 1 John 4? It says, perfect love casts out fear. Fear has no place in love. It can't get in there.
Right.
Darkness cannot get into light. And that's what we do when we walk in the light. We're walking in love with our Father and with one another. I wanted to use this scripture last week, but I didn't have time. And I have used it before in the past, future past lessons. But we're going to go, and since it applies directly to what we're talking about, we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 3. A lot of these scriptures will apply throughout our series, so we'll be bringing them back in. There's certain things that apply everywhere in every teaching that you do, in everything you study, because they are the root of it. And love is one of those things that apply in everything you study.
Mm-hmm.
So Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to not do the whole thing. We're going to zero in on verse 16, but this is an awesome prayer
mm-hmm.
that you can pray for yourself and for others. And you should be doing it every day. Especially the Amplified Bible. May He, or God, may He grant. Now, what's a grant?
Give, a free gift.
It's a free gift. It's something that you're not going to have to pay back. It's something that's free. It's for you. It's granted by a higher power
mm-hmm.
or by somebody with the means to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always by somebody that has the authority to do it. And God has the authority.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you don't earn. It's a grant. So may He grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit came into your spirit.
Amen.
That's it. When you say He lives in me, yes, He lives inside the real me, my spirit. My spirit and His spirit have become one. He lives there.
Mm-hmm.
He abides there. God's strength, His wisdom, everything He provides for us and through us comes from our inner man. Everything. Revelation, His ability to love me and pour out through me, the answers to my prayers,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's sitting on that throne out there, but he's on the throne of my heart too.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is the one that is he's my interceder, my intercessor. He's my strengthener, my standby. He is my teacher. He's the one that reveals Jesus to me. He's the one that brings revelation and teaches me how to respond. And he lives in me. But my spirit man must be in dominion in my life. I must be spiritually minded or love-minded. If I'm love-minded, I'm automatically spiritually minded.
Amen.
And if I'm spiritually minded, it's life and peace, the Word says. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit is the one that brings this up and through us to others. The one that tells me how to choose. That's where my life is. That's where my health is. That's where my healing is. Inside of me, not outside of me. So my strength here is, and I'm strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. So all of these provisions come from there. Verse 17, make Christ through your faith, not my wife's, not somebody else's, not the church's faith, through your faith, my faith, Michael's faith. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell. So what is that? That actually means what?
Real.
A reality. It's not just some pipe dream or some myth.
Mm-hmm.
Actually. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide. Make his permanent home in your hearts or your spirit. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That sounds to me like it's a priority.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It applied last week when we were talking about being rooted deep in love. But if I'm rooted deep in love, it's a number one priority. It is number one priority in my life. Verse 18. That. So that word that is like then. That. If I'm deeply rooted in love, then this happens. That you may have the power. Now, if it says you may have the power, what's that mean? It doesn't mean you're using it.
Right.
When automatically people say that you may be able, the other translations that you may be able. Being able to do something and doing it are two different things.
Right.
So you have the power. It's not God's fault if you're not doing it.
That's
it's your
right.
fault.
That's right.
It's not anybody else's fault. It's yours.
Mm-hmm.
That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints. So this is available to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? So we can understand the fullness of God. And God is pushing everything he has forward to me understanding his ways. They're not hidden. They're just higher. And why are they higher? Like I said last week, they're higher because of the fall.
Yes.
God's ways were not always higher than man's ways.
Huh.
Before the fall, man's ways and God's ways were one. They were absolutely, totally, 100% one. They understood the fullness of each other.
Wow.
Because there's no sin. But when the fall came, man lost that. One of the studies we had earlier, I believe it was number 3, we talked about the ways of the Lord. His ways are love. So what are we saying? My love is higher than yours. If his way is love, and all of his ways are love, then my ways are higher than yours. But here it's saying we can understand the fullness of it.
Yes.
That we have the power to do that. So we're not without the ability. It's up to me to choose it. And to make it a top priority. Verse 19. That you may really come to know. I like the way the Amplified puts that. Here it says that you may have the power to, verse 18, that you may have the power to be strong and apprehend and grasp. Then it talks about the experience of that love. And in verse 19 it says that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves. The love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Mm-hmm. That's God's desire. Mm-hmm. He wants every single cell of the body, His body, the church, and our personal bodies to be filled with His presence.
Hallelujah.
To be love beings. That's what we were created for. I'm going to have to stop here, but I really wanted to go further. There might be a part two next week. I don't know. But there's a lot more here. I might work it into the next one. I don't know. We'll see what happens here. Yeah, I have to. So, if we truly love God, we truly love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, then we open the door to manifestations in every area of our life. Our heart will be established, and we will dwell in the secret place of God's rest.
Amen.
That's the way we do it. If we don't make love the priority in our life, that won't work. It's sad to say, but it will not work if we do not make love the priority. Now, sometimes we may need people to help us remember that. We may need to have a banner taped on every wall of the house. Love first, or something. Love, the number one priority. And hopefully your mate or the person that's around, your mom and dad, your siblings, whoever's in your house, maybe they'll get the idea too. And it might eliminate some of the arguments and fusses.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may start to fuss and argue and say, whoop, wait a minute, that's not love, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be some changes you'll have to make in your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are going to be a light, the light of the world in this dark season, we have to.
Amen.
We have to do it. We cannot afford to take offenses. We cannot afford to participate in things that would lead us away from that. We have to be the ones that pray. We have to be the ones that love enough to not participate in those things. Love enough to spend our time praying, spend our time confessing the word, and to be an instrument that God can use to flow. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for this revelation. Thank you for the anointing this morning. And Father, I pray that this touch our lives and hearts in such a way that our whole life from this time forward is revolutionized. If we walk in your love, Father, depression leaves, fear leaves, marriage problems are healed, problems with health, and all of the other things, they just are taken care of. Because you have prepared a table before us. You are our provision. You are our rock, our shield, our hope, and our joy. We can walk through the storms of life, no matter how big they are, Father, if we're walking with you in love. And it's the only way we can walk with you,
mm-hmm.
is in love.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father, for opening that door for us, for teaching us, for bringing this revelation to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you.